Hi, this is Mary Santora, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Elizabeth Seaman. Enjoy.
Welcome to The Default Setting, where we find out what makes you tick because we have ways of making you talk. I am your host, Jess Falstick.
And I'm your co-host, Elizabeth Seaman.
Today, we have a very good friend of mine. She is I don't know her exact title at Oberlin, but she is a very important person at Oberlin that travels the country.
And she raising also, that money.
Yeah. She also does... she is a athletic physical trainer. That's how I know her. She's the most in shape person I know, Miss Jessica Ford. Thank you for joining us.
Hi. Hey, y'all. So good to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Your default setting is Texas pride.
Yes. Yes. Talking about how that just is infusing my identity from the time we were born until right now. So
hell yeah, let's do it. All right.
I love the fact that every time I watch your Instagram, like you be so in it with the Cleveland pride up in California, which is like awesome, but also hysterical at the same time. It's not even obnoxious to me because I'm like, that's probably how I am to everybody else.
Yep.
I got all the Texas shit everywhere. I got my license plate. I got all the things.
Yes!
As the spider says, Cleveland loves itself some Cleveland. Like, <it's> not wrong. 100% accurate.
So I can say, you know, this is really interesting. So I have always been a huge Texas pride person.
Okay.
That's what's ingrained in you from the time that you were very, very small, based on like our commercials and like, you know, Texas is the greatest. Everything is bigger in Texas. You have all these like Ford commercials that are like quad cabs that are like special Texas edition. I mean, it's insane. Like, it's something that, I mean, we do Texas history. I don't even know if y'all do Ohio history, but there is a year in seventh grade that we do Texas history.
Oh yeah, we do too.
Okay. But it's just something that's just like, it is part of everyone's personality who comes from that place, and it's very rare that I run into Texans either in Texas itself, because we still just crazy, like we still just like super on 10 about how proud we are about the state and how it is, which is interesting because we're going to talk about that in a minute, just about like the politics and stuff of it. But even when I meet with people in other cities and stuff, like, it's just, there's an automatic camaraderie. There's an automatic, like, you know, you come to my house and do all these things. I don't even know who the hell you are, but because you're from Texas,
it's
amazing, right? And so it's, except there's only one person that I have met from Texas who lives in New York now. And she's like, oh my God, I couldn't wait to get away from that place. And I was like, in my mind, I'm like smiling, but in my mind, I'm like, fuck you. Like, even though New Yorker, okay?
It's like they're talking shit about your family. You're like, oh, cool. So say that about my mom one more time.
No, seriously.
It's offensive. I call myself, like, I'm like, I just feel like such a pugnacious Clevelander. Like, someone starts to talk shit. I'm like, oh, so you want to fight? That's what you're saying. And I'm like, all I'm probably doing is proving their point about like, oops.
Well, so what's interesting is, though, like, when I moved here to Cleveland, that wasn't that way. Like, when I initially moved, so you could, Elizabeth and Liebert Cassidy Whitmore, I think the two of you kind of you're abnormal when it comes with outward expressions of your pride from where you're from. Mm-hmm. And because when I first moved here, like, people were like, why did you move here? I'm like, why do I have to explain it? Why do I have to you for someone who's never, you know, that you live here? Why do I have to even explain why I moved here? Like, what?
That ticks me off, those people, because I feel like there was, like, you're right, like, there was and still kind of is, like, the, like, self-loathing Rust Belt Cleveland, like, haters, and they're just like, this place is trash. No, I'm like, so get out! Like, that's my first assumption. I'm like, see ya!
I talk a lot about, people always talk about self-hating Jews, and it almost kind of feels like a little bit of that, right? Because it's like, you are very protective of your heritage, but at the same time, you're just like, oh, you're overly self-aware, overly self-conscious of it. Because I think even some of the biggest, like, this place is a shithole, will also stab you if you say, like, if you're an outsider and you say shit about Cleveland. So, I mean, I think there's a very much, like, a self-hatred, self-love it. Like, and I know that this comparison gets thrown around a lot, but the whole, like, I can make fun of my brother, but you can't sort of thing, or I can make fun of my family, but you can't thing. That's a big piece of it too, I think.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the funny part though. Like, that's the difference though. With people from Texas, we don't make fun of shit. People are like, oh, you guys wear 10-gallon hats and big belt buckles and cowboy boots. I'm like, fuck yeah, we do.
You guys love your
trunks. You own it. Yeah, you own it.
That's right, so what part of Texas are you from, Jess?
I'm originally from Houston. And so I moved here from Houston in January of 2014.
Oh, okay.
And I'm still here. And again, it's people are like, man, we're surprised you've been here. Wow, we surprised you still here. I'm like,
we have a lot to offer, goddammit.
Especially Cleveland is showing out today, Jess.
Yeah.
It is super sunny, and it's not like freezing cold. I'm like, all right, yay! Y'all trying. It's showing out. It's showing out today.
I had breakfast at XYZ, and then I went to Brew Nuts, and it's National Margarita Day. And I was like, I fucking had a margarita and a donut, and I'm like, I'm not even mad. I'm so full right now. Apparently, they had margaritas, and I think I saw it on Facebook, and I'm like, fuck, that's a good-ass day.
That is a great day. And also,
no one believes me, but it rained here last night and it made me so happy because, like,
oh god, yeah,
something that really fucking sucks. And I tell people this, I'm like, oh, poor you. No, I realize we have it good here, but like, I miss rain, like, I miss clouds, I miss, like, I miss variation in the weather, because when it's the same all the fucking time, you go nuts. Like, you absolutely.
I just want, like, I want a day where I could stay in bed and not feel bad about it. Like, if it was sunny all the time, I'd be like, well, fuck
that's
me.
Why everyone that's why everyone here is tan and thin, because there's like, well, fuck, I gotta go outside. I can't just sit on my couch today. I feel bad. So
I like blankets too much.
Me too. I miss so much, like, piling under blankets and, like, just being, like, all cozy, because it's too hot. Like, I'm actually sweating. I have the windows open because it's too hot. And I know, again, I'm not asking anyone to feel bad. It's just, I don't like it. Like, I don't like it all the time. I want more variation, and I do. Mm-hmm. People say, you'll miss the seasons, and I'm like, okay. No, I actually miss the seasons. You're right. I'm wrong.
You want to know a weird thing about Japan? It's like something that I never knew and never thought about. The people in Japan, like, the Japanese are like to brag about how they have four distinct seasons. And then, like, because it's
smog,
like
less smog.
That's more like China, but because they just, like, you know, it's like Shintoism, it's like super into nature and stuff like that, and they do and they, like, really appreciate them. Like, they have leaf viewings and everything. Like, it's super pretty. It's like kind of like what they do, the cherry blossoms, but they do, like, the leaves and everything. And I'm not saying that it's not gorgeous, but then I tried to say, yeah, like, in Ohio we get four seasons too, and they're like, not really though. it's not distinct enough.
Yeah,
I'm like,
true.
Weird but brag, no, guys. No, that's a weird brag.
Well, and I think by comparison, Jess, from Texas, you probably do notice it a lot. You notice the stark contrast more in the seasons.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And it's nice. I mean, fall, I lose my mind during apple picking season. I'm like, who made it?
Fuck yeah. You probably don't get to pick many apples in Texas.
No, because they're nasty. And actually, quite frankly, I didn't eat a whole lot of apples and stuff in Texas until I moved up here. And I'm like, all of these varieties. They got like a cosmic one that just came out. I'm like, I don't even know what that means, but it's delicious.
I love to go to the one place that's like in Chesterland or something. It's Eddie's Fruit Farm.
Yes!
Oh my God.
Oh my God. That's what that was.
Could they sponsor us, please? Because holy shit. And I picked grapes there before and made homemade grape Concord, like grape jelly. And I made apple jelly from their stuff. I love them because they just encourage you. They're like, yeah, walk around and like try it to see, try the apple, see if you like it. Like rip it off the tree, eat it, and see if you want it. Like, and they keep their trees kind of low so you can like actually reach shit without getting one of those weird sticks.
Totally.
Like they're the best.
Yeah, Mapleside does not allow you to do that. Like you have to stay on the path. Full they have broke things out, and I'm like,
they'll yell.
And then they don't even have the bakery like Eddie's does. I'm like,
yeah. They have, oh my God, and then like and sometimes in the fall they do that big like kettle corn vat in the front, so it's just like kettle corn and five pumpkins, and they have pears.
But I mean, and Jess has been in my house, Lizzie, you have not. I just think it's such a part of my identity, which is really interesting because as you know, when I first moved here, I think that was around the time where the governor was talking about seceding from the union. And I'm like, what year is this?
I mean, in all fairness, I would be kicking some state. Florida wanted to go, they could go.
I totally forgot about this, but when someone actually pulled up the clip and played it like on Twitter or something, I remembered it. There's this Bugs Bunny cartoon where he somehow like pickaxes the edges of Florida off and then kicks it into the ocean so it floats away. And he's like waving at it as it like floats away into the ocean. I'm like,
I remember that.
I'm just saying there's some southern states and if they wanted to leave, I wouldn't be mad. Also, what's even in North Dakota and Montana? Like, maybe we should put in an in-ground pool.
That'd be nice. That would cover the entire state. That would be nice. And you just can you imagine just jumping in and having a good time? That would be nice.
Right?
That's a lot of cool.
All the new source of like fresh water we could get. I don't think anyone would miss it.
I don't think so either.
What's even in Dakota? I mean, come on.
So like just both of them. Anyway. Is Ohio the only other place you've lived besides Texas?
I went to school in Georgia.
That's right.
And again, during my undergraduate years, apparently there were some of my classmates who didn't know my real name because everybody called me Texas.
So you had a reputation.
I mean, for 4 years, people just called me Texas. And someone was like, what is really your name? One of the freshmen, I think when I was a senior.
You should have always thought sometimes if I went to like out of state for a different school, I feel like that I would be that person too.
Sure. As you should. And then I've also lived in I was in upstate New York twice for 2 summers and then here.
Okay.
And I feel like, you know, for me we can talk about this too. But for me, like it's nothing for me to move from a place to place. Like, I know that can be a very terrifying experience for people, especially, I mean, so my really good friend told me years ago that they're really just kind of two kinds of people, right? And we're going to come back to the Texas thing, but this is just a really interesting observation. And he said to me, you know, there are tribal people who basically you grow up in a space and you build your community there and your family's there and you're grounded and you stay. That is your tribe. Mm-hmm. The rest of us are nomadic people, right? And so we build our communities where we are, but then we get that kind of itch to move every few years. And for real, I get the itch. Like, I'm like, what am I still doing here?
Honestly, I'm bored. Jess, you inspired me a lot to move to California. Like you were definitely a piece of like when I was thinking about it. Like I think the big motivators were, I remember talking to you a lot about your decision to move from Texas to Ohio. Mm-hmm. One of my best friends had just quit her job and traveled the country for 3 months and lived out of a van. Our
friend, I needed a little more stability.
Our dear friend Pete Melk, who used to do all our recordings for the podcast, he literally just quit his job and moved to Oakland. And I'm like, damn it, how are all these people doing this? How dare they? Like, how dare they do
so easy
with their lives? And then I was like, wait, I can do it. Like, it clicked. I was like, if they can do it, so can I. So that was like a big piece of it for me.
Because seriously, like, what's the, I mean, I know that there's a fear, but really, what's the worst that can happen? You hate it, it sucks, you move back.
Exactly.
That's good.
Yep.
Right?
I think people are afraid to, like, lose face about that kind of stuff, though.
Yeah.
You know, like, some people are like, whatever, you didn't like it. And then the other people, they're like, I'm afraid everyone's going to judge me.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't hack it or, you know, like, I just like, homesick or something. Like, they're afraid of being judged.
Yeah.
Yes. I think there's the fear of being judged, and I think there's a fear, too, of moving away from everything that's familiar.
Yeah.
And for me, I will say this, and my mom, she knows this the truth. My mother and I, our relationship is always closer the further I am away.
Me too!
That's just, it is what it is. Me and her are like two peas in a pod right now. When I was living under her roof, it was like... I had to get out of there. But, you know, I think the fear of having familiar ties, losing all these familiar ties. But the thing is, the way I see it and the way I'm hardwired is that there's so much technology that connects us. Like right now, right?
Yep.
You know, I've had boyfriends in the past be like, you miss me? And I'm like, nah, not really. We talking right now.
No, we talk enough.
Right. And then when dudes initially, like, when they want to call and text every day, I'm like, nah, I need you to back up. I don't talk to my mama that much. Like,
there we go. Just for fiercely independent.
For real. Like, I had to tell somebody that 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah, these Hinge apps. I don't really want to turn this into a session about...
No, it's fine. Is this just called Just Ford, get off my dick? Just Ford needs everyone off her dick, okay? Could you not?
But I just, you know, it was one of those things, like, he was texting me in the morning, good morning, how's your day, what are you doing, good evening, I hope you have a good night. I'm like, I don't need all that. Like, I don't need that. Especially, like, you know, when you initially dating somebody anyway, you got several in rotation. So, you know, I mean, you know, let me just...
See, that's nice, like, if you're, like, serious. But, like, I think it's kind of weird. When you've never even met them. It's like,
It's weird. I just need you to back up. And I'm like, literally, okay, there was probably a more tactful way I could have said that. But literally, that's what I said to him. I was like, look, man, I'm fiercely independent. And, like, all this attention that you give, I need you to back up a little bit.
Yeah.
Literally, that's what I said.
Yeah, I mean, that just means it wasn't meant to be.
If he takes it
that way, then, you know, it was never going to work anyway.
So I would like to tie this. Do you think that a lot of Texans, I mean, they all sound like they're very, I don't mean this in any sort of, like, derogatory way. It's just the only word that's coming to mind, but, like, more alpha. They seem very, like, in charge of things. Do you think that that's part of it, or is that more of just personality?
I never thought about that.
That is a really good question. I think, so of course, I would immediately say yes. I think there's certainly more alpha people. But I mean, more alpha people when you're in environments that are unfamiliar.
Okay.
Right? So, because it's almost like there's this persona that you have to take on.
Okay.
For people to know that, yeah, I'm from Texas and it's the shit, and like, we are amazing, and I gotta make sure you know, and you know, and you know.
Right? You feel like it's almost like you have to set up like a defense, like a judge, like,
yeah.
And like, blah, 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 blah. Like, you have to use it a little bit.
I don't know if it's necessarily defense. I think it's just this over. So what's interesting, so talking about the transition from Houston to here, is what's interesting is that I literally would, not that I'm saying I'm like the greatest person in the world, but I literally would walk into rooms sometimes, particularly at work, where I would just, my personality would breathe life into the room. I mean, you already know, I'm just very effervescent, very bubbly. my girlfriend who just moved, I'm so proud of her. I was like, we gotta get out of Houston. And for a long time, she was like, I love Houston. I'm gonna stay here forever. This is the greatest. And she just moved to Raleigh, and I'm so proud of her.
Yay.
But she's also just very one of these bubbly, effervescent people. And she, and it's a confidence. And so when you, I think you move to a different place, you lead. So when people, when you go into a room and you're doing the networking and stuff and people ask you, usually it's the first question is, what do you do? Well, I don't identify myself by my job.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I identify myself with, for my roots and my heritage. And even now, when people ask me where I'm from, it's always like, well, I'm originally from Texas, but I live in Cleveland now.
Cleveland. Yeah,
I'm originally from Texas, but I live in Cleveland.
I mean, from and where you're at are two different things.
That's a habit I've had a hard time getting into the groove of here. Like, people will ask, like, we went to Universal Studios on Monday, and we asked someone to take a photo of us, and they were like, where are you folks from? And, like, this instinctively, I was like, Ohio, which I am, but then sometimes I'm like, but we're not visiting here from Ohio, you know what I mean? So it's, like, a weird thing.
But, like, I live here.
Right.
You just gotta put that a good qualifier in, because you can always be from Ohio, boo.
Exactly.
Well, that's what we did, the same thing. Like, when my best friend was living outside of D.C., we'd go somewhere and be like, oh, where are you guys from? And she'd be like, well, you know, they're from Cleveland. Like, I live here or something. Or we'd be like, well, like, we're all originally from Cleveland, but she lives here now. Like, it seems a little bit important to, like,
know. I know there's, like, this lengthy explanation instead of just saying one, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I can't keep this simple. I need you to have a seat. I'm going to get this script out.
Go over. That's why you got to tighten it up. I'm originally from X, but I live Y. That's
it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what's interesting, I think, about this whole sense of pride. So it's part of that is Southern hospitality. And trust me, I will argue you into the ground that Texas is the South.
I agree.
I'm like, look at the map, folks.
No argument.
It's the South. Okay.
<It's> South.
Girl, that place.
I got a whole bit.
I'm sure you do. Have you been there before?
Yep. Nothing to do.
It's fascinating. Tulsa's not too bad, but it's fascinating. But what's interesting, I think, about this whole sense of pride and where you're from, it's about the Southern hospitality. It's about, especially when you're from Houston, just the very metropolitan. I mean, it's still, Houston is very much a small town. You have the essence of, like, you know, the boots and spurs, and if you go into the hood, you do have, you know, people riding horseback. Like, that really is a thing. They ride down the street on horseback. Totally. But I think there, people don't understand that you can still have a pride and a love for a place and not necessarily have to agree with either the politics or the way things are happening that's going on there.
Yes.
And so what's interesting for me is that, you know, I will get into discussions with people about, you know, you just seem so excited about Texas and, like, it's such a red state and blah, blah, blah. And, like, you know, it's so racist. And I'm like, first off, I have not experienced more racism until I moved up here than I did in Texas. So that's number one.
Number two,
it's very passive aggressive up here. But number two, first of all, Houston is completely different. Houston is a completely different animal. Like, Like, it's very much a blue city. And yes, while I will agree, I mean, Sandy Bland was just outside of Houston when she got killed. That was definitely in Wharton County. You know, we don't go there.
Well, I've heard the same thing about Austin, too, where it's like, yeah, Austin's in Texas, but, like, is it Texas?
Is it
Like, its own thing.
Right. It's its own thing. And there's something that are really, it's really beautiful and really amazing about these cities, but just because there are some negative things about it, things that that need to improve, right, doesn't necessarily mean, like, you hate everything out of it, right?
Yeah.
And that's part of how, what I have to do. I just learned this phrase. I'm old, y'all. Okay, so but I just learned the phrase cancel culture. So you know about the cancel culture?
Yeah.
I didn't know what that meant, but. So I just discovered that earlier this week. So I'm now feeling like I'm in the know.
I just want to clarify for people at home. She works at Oberlin, and she just figured out, she just heard about cancel culture. Not that that's on you. That surprises me about Oberlin. That, like, Oberlin somehow didn't do their job right.
Oh, good.
Or I just try to stay above the mess now. I try to stay above this mess.
I like it.
But, you know, this whole obsession with that, if there is, it's very akin to the shame honor system in the Middle East and in those countries now, where it's not necessarily where our sense of moral code, where as Western countries, our sense of moral code was very much individualistic in that, you know, if we did something bad, mm-hmm. you know, there is a way that we can right it by doing something good and it wouldn't affect our identity and who we are. But with this shame honor culture or this cancel culture, your behavior ends up being silenced and your identity may even be changed by the shame that the public puts on you based on an isolated incident, right?
Yes. Yes.
And so what's crazy now is that people... We're not in a space where we can make mistakes and to try things out and to be vulnerable because we're so consumed by this fear of being shamed by society, right? And I'm not saying that like we shouldn't call out racist people and we should.
Oh yeah, no, of course.
It's still very much like if you only tend to be and surrounded yourself with people who think like you and who live like you and who behave like you, this is the reason why we have this problem now.
Yes.
And so like going back to the whole Texas thing and the identity, it's really just about, yes, there are some very dark things about Texas past, right? And the argument that I made with someone about the South, they were like, I was like, what? First of all, there were slaves in Texas. We didn't know that we was free until a year after everybody else.
Which is some bullshit. You never heard about that, Jess?
No.
That's the origins of Juneteenth. Mm. It's because that's when Texas slaves figured out we were finally free.
My God.
And now everybody celebrates it, but I feel some type of way about that because I'm like, you don't really get to celebrate Juneteenth because you already knew.
And and you didn't text and you didn't call. You could have sent somebody.
You could have written a letter.
Anybody.
Now carry a pigeon, something. Shoot.
Yeah, nobody wanted to come by with a plate. Like, come on.
I mean, I love that Jess just learned about cancel culture and I just learned about Juneteenth. This is such an educational podcast. This is an educational day for everyone. I love it so much. Oh my gosh.
So, but it's just, it's one of those things that, yes, I can still have pride for a place. And yes, I can, you know, we're still where my family is. It's still where my heritage and where I grew up and the things that I love. And there are still some very dark things about it. But, you know, you got to take it all together. Right, you have to take it all together.
I love to talk about this stuff because number one, I love to really emphasize and lean more into the idea that we're a culture that's way too obsessed with making everything black or white and not being able to say that it's both. So I love really just sort of perpetuating the notion that like you can come from a place that has, or you can even be a person that has had, you know, bad ideals or things like that, but you can change, you know what I mean? But, or you can be a bad person and a good person at the same time. I just love talking about that. Not that it's the same in Ohio as it is in Texas, but I grew up in like extremely bumfuck rural Ohio. So I totally get it. I was the kind of person who got out of there because I couldn't stand bumfuck rural Ohio. What's really funny is we're talking about getting along with our parents. My parents are still in bumfuck rural Ohio, but like they have the same political alignment as me, which is like blue leaning.
So it'd be a struggle for them out there, but
well, and that's really? It. So they do. They constantly call or text and they're like, there's people. And I'm like, and I'm like, yeah, awesome. Yeah, you live in bumfuck Ohio, where it's like the heart of Trump country. So yes, that is going to happen.
You guys knew that before you moved there, right?
Well, and then because the thing is, we like, my brother was literally just born, so they've been there like 35 years. Mm-hmm. So it, you know, it was probably not, because things are way more politically divided now. It probably wasn't as in your face back then. But then of course, you know, they're also getting to an age too where they're just like, politics, because like they don't have kids to raise or any distractions, you know what I mean?
They just like watch the nightly news and get real angry.
Exactly. Right. So funny, because then there are times where on Facebook I'll be like, my bum fuck town that I grew up in, and my mom will get so mad and she's like, are you ashamed of us? And I'm like, no, you're ashamed. I'm just as ashamed as you are. You know you feel the same way.
We talked about our shame together, goddamn it.
We bond over that shame. What is your
deal? You're part of this. Act like it's just me out here.
So, I mean, but I think that goes back to, you know, you have people who sort of mock you openly for, like, you know, you like Texas, and Texas is this big racist state, and then, like, you know, you have these little, like, you go back and forth, but then you're like, you know, I still love going home to visit my parents. I love where my parents live. I just don't love necessarily all their neighbors and the people who surround them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay, I feel like, and it's comforting, and it's nice when people kind of can say, like, they accept, like, the you know, there's pros and cons, and it's not just, I'm better than you, or this and that and the other thing. I'm just like, no, everywhere's just, it's got their ups and downs.
I imagine uber liberal cities too have the same thing, where like people are so fucking in your face with like their liberal politics that you're like, okay, I need to get out of it. Like, I need, because I think everyone I hang out for the most part is open-minded. They don't just like lean hard one way.
I guess. But if I could only see so many socks and sandals wearers before I'd be out of there too. Like, it's only so much, and like,
speaking of that,
granola, I mean, everywhere. I don't know, man.
what was it about Oberlin? I know you've mentioned it's just something different, but like, I mean, I imagine Oberlin's kind of well known, I think, nationwide. Was it specifically Oberlin that kind of drew you to Ohio?
Yes, okay. specifically Oberlin. Part of it was the conservatory. So you know that I have a music background, and prior to working at Oberlin, I spent some time in some very large fine arts institutions in Houston. So the Houston Grand Opera and Houston Symphony, and I have a degree in that. Yeah. So, you know, try.
Thank you.
but the more that I began to research while I was doing my job interview, the more I became impressed with it. And then when I came on campus and actually really started participating in the environment, it if you allow it to, and I tell people about this all the time, so Oberlin is a very special place. And forget the very far left, super combative people who are part of that cancel culture and want to shut you down and shut you out.
Yeah,
there is a sense of compassion and just social justice and civic engagement that I didn't necessarily grow up with. Mm-hmm. And so the conversations that I had with my coworkers, with my students, with other faculty on campus and friends who work there, if you allow it to, Oberlin will change you, for me, in my case, for the better. Because growing up in Texas, I think that there, even in Houston, where it's very blue, there are some things that you just take as, this is how life is. And when I moved to Oberlin and began conversing with people just about a bunch of different stuff, politics, religion, you know, women's rights, whatever, I'd say a statement, and they'd be like, why do you think that way? Why does that have to be an absolute truth for you? And it really kind of began to like rock my foundation a little bit, because I was like, okay, well, maybe I do need to evaluate the reason why I believe the things that I believe, and just
think
about what that is. And what I appreciate about it is that when these conversations that I was having with people, it wasn't from a place of we want to be argumentative and prove our point, but it was really just about, let me help you walk through this process of being an amazing critical thinker so that you can begin to create these truths for, well, not necessarily truths, but begin to create this sense of self-identity for yourself.
Yeah, yeah, like you can have educated opinions instead of like ingrained opinions from whatever. Which, not to say that those are all wrong or anything, and like everybody's gonna change their mind about everything. But like having like an environment like that is amazing, because I think a lot, like if we all had it, the world would just be a better place. Because I think like it kind of goes back to the not wanting to be judged thing. Like people are just like, they, you know, you're gonna say I'm wrong, and then I'm just like, you know, they just dig in farther if it's not like the right kind of atmosphere, like to have those conversations, or maybe they don't want to be introspective at all. So I think Oberlin sounds like it's special, and it sounds like it worked for you. I don't know if it worked for everybody, but
correct. And so, yeah, there are people it may not necessarily work for everybody for. And I will say that in some of the circles that I have been able to connect myself and be part of, there are places in which I feel safe that I can say something really stupid and people are not going to be like, right? It's just like, okay, well, let's talk about why you feel this way, right?
Yeah. Like, people are just genuine, like, they genuinely want to, like, break it down together and, like, figure that stuff out.
Right. I think that's the thing I love the most about, like, my friend group and just that mentality of, like, there's no one that's, like, I mean, that's a big reason I got divorced. There's nobody whose feet are firmly planted in the ground and they're refusing to budge. You know what I mean? Like, people, like, all of us, I think, have enough confidence to say, like, oh, maybe I am wrong, and are, like, open-minded enough to, like, because that's how I think you become, like, a better person, really, is you're always willing to acknowledge that there are other people's opinions that you haven't considered. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And then the fact that you even put yourself in that position to say, like, I'm about to be put into a position where people are going to question a lot of what, or I'm going to have a lot of what I've always believed, you know, put into question, and that's okay. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so part of that is, I'm very grateful. I mean, there are some good and some bad things certainly about Oberlin. But I am very grateful about the way that I have transformed over the last 6 years.
Good.
And being friends with you, being friends with some other folks in Cleveland, it's unbelievable. And I can know for a fact that I am not the same person that I was when I left.
Good.
There's still essences of people, you know, I'm still going to be I'm still going to be, you know, aspects of me will never change, right?
I should hope so.
there will still be some ratchet moments in my experience of classiness, but just being able to have conversations with people and be able to push back when I feel like it's necessary to push back, and listen when I don't feel it's necessary to push back.
Yeah.
I will say that for me, that is part of the richest part of my Cleveland experience is just being able to be open to be changed in that way.
And that's really cool. I mean, I think it's, you know, I mean, it sounds kind of cliche, but, you know, every place is kind of what you make of it, too. And I think there was a time where if I'd gone to Oberlin, I would have gone in there with a very closed-minded about how everybody was there and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And maybe wouldn't have been as open-minded to sort of listening to new thoughts and new ideals. I don't even know if I would still be willing to do that. But, But do
old
you?
Old lady Jess.
Yeah, I'm stubborn old lady Jess.
You're already stuck in your ways.
you kids off my lawn. But yeah,
old man yells at cloud over there.
But do you ever think you'll move back to Texas?
So, you know, people ask me that all the time, especially now that people are like, you've been here for 6 years. Like, what are you going to do? And I'm still enjoying myself. I'm still having a good time. I'm still doing what I'm doing. I still travel. And here's the other thing, too, is that Jess and Elizabeth, my experience in Cleveland would be very different if I did not travel every other week.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to know that probably I would have been gone 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But, well, yeah, that would be extra stir crazy.
Oh, yeah.
But the balance between being here and creating a sense of community and being very intentional about that and being away and, you know, exploring and getting out of here for a little bit, that's been a really good balance, which is why the reason why I think I've been here for 6 years. I will say that I meet with Houston, even over the last 6 years, the population growth has exploded, which means real estate there is unbelievable.
Yeah. And
I can't afford it. Like, I can't afford to live where I want to live, right?
Right, that's one of the things I was going to say. I was like, oh, yeah, and living, I feel like, in Ohio probably also helps with the ability to travel because the cost of living is cheaper.
You would think, but girlfriend, a house in Lakewood,
oh God,
$384.
I'm getting pissed. I've seriously been looking at places like for the last few months, and I'm just like, I'm not paying over $1,000 to have one bathroom. Like, I'm not doing it.
You feel me?
Like, fuck that.
Ohio.
I'm like, I grew up here, and I'm not doing
it. I'm paying it.
Like, when I moved to Cleveland 12 years ago, we had a 2-bedroom, 1-bath apartment. Those 1,200 square feet, that was $1,200. So it was $1 a square foot. And everything I've ever heard is that's actually a pretty decent price. The last apartment, which everybody on this call had been my last apartment, was 600 square feet. And it was $1,200 fucking dollars, because apparently over 12 years, that's how
that works.
It's pissing me out. I'm like, stop gentrifying my city.
Yeah.
Right.
Can't fucking afford to live here anymore.
Right. We could talk about that all day long.
Like, I've had my car stolen. Don't charge me that much in rent. Like, you can't stop pretending like we're classier than we are, you dick. Just because you put in marble countertops doesn't mean that my Jeep's not going to get jacked. Like, fuck you guys.
Oh my God. No, but it's so true though. Like, I don't know. Like, it's true. Like, exactly what you're saying, Jess. Like, I used to travel a lot. Like, just even, I mean, you travel a lot for work too, but like, I traveled a lot just for leisure. Like, we'd go on one big trip a year when I lived in Ohio, and like, I can't afford that shit now. So like, we go see California, which is still cool, but like,
it's pretty big. There's a lot to see.
Fair way.
Yeah.
So if, for me, you know, unless, you know, my dad, I will say that if my mother needs help, that is not a question. I will move back tomorrow.
Yeah.
I prefer not to.
Yeah.
But I will move back tomorrow.
Yeah.
I would like to ultimately move somewhere else. You know, I still have these aspirations of living overseas, and that would be awesome, but... You know, the older I get, the more comfortable I get with my way of living.
Yeah, right.
And I was actually talking to somebody about this the other day. I feel like I'm not as fearless as I used to be, like in my 20s. Like, you know, I just packed up my shit and moved to Ohio. I didn't know anybody. It didn't matter to me.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, okay, we need to have a plan.
Well, I feel like it's not even that, like, fearless is one thing so much as maybe just, like, you didn't think everything through and it was fine. You know, like, now you just have, like, you're more aware.
Yeah, I have the experience.
Yeah, you want certain standards of living. Like,
Right, because, you know, I'm a princess now, boo. I got the American Airline lounge. I got to keep affording that. I can't be flying with the peasants anymore.
I relate to this so much. Like, we're looking for new apartments because we're moving in July. And
Where are you going?
We're going to stay in LA, but we're just going to move to another apartment. Because our apartment right now is really small. So you were talking about coming out to visit, and I keep telling everyone who wants to visit this year should come after July, because we'll have, like, a twice as big place and probably a nice, I mean, our area is really nice now, but it'll be a twice as big place and like a nicer complex. So that's my hope. But we're looking, and I'm like, we don't really need much. I just need it to be 1,000 square feet at least, because there's two of us, and I need 2 bedrooms, two bedrooms and 1.5 bath. And then, so we kept looking.
Thank you.
And then I kept looking, and then I was like, all right, I don't really need much. All I need is to be 1,000 square feet, 2-bedroom, 2-bath. And then I kept looking a little bit more. I was like, all I really need is for it to be 1,200 square feet, 2 bedrooms, 2 baths. It needs washer, dryer, hookup.
Yeah.
And it also needs a parking like area. Mm-hmm. And so like now like my Zillow filter keeps basically at fewer and fewer places every time I look.
You got $1 million.
Exactly.
Your Zillow's like, oh, so you fucking won the lottery, eh, bitch? Good for you.
That's funny.
Oh my god, I wish I could say I've only been to Texas once, but I was in El Paso, so it was like
what part is that? You basically in New Mexico. Stop.
I was right in the corner, like you could see Juarez from my brother's front porch, and I was just like, there's no trees, man.
Right, it's not a whole lot.
The sun is just on you.
Texas is so interesting to me because it's so big. And I mean, you can confirm this because I've only ever been to like the bigger cities. So like I've been to Houston. I know this isn't a big city, but I went down to Corpus Christi for like spring break one time. Yeah, and then I went to like Dallas for a day. Oh, I spent a lot of time in Austin too. But because like those are all kind of like to the east and central sides, I haven't spent a time in West Texas. Is it like really dramatically different or?
Like West, you ever spent time in West Texas?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, me neither. Oh, really?
I mean, El Paso.
But it's 14 hours. I can get to Atlanta in the same amount of time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know right what I'm saying? Like, who does that?
Right? That's not like my friends who are from other countries and stuff. They're always like, they just talk about like the United States, like it's all the same, and I'm just like, it's very different. Like I had a friend who was she studied abroad here when she was in high school. She's from Germany. She was like in Louisiana, and I'm just
okay. That's cute.
Well, you know, Ohio's not the same. Or then, like, I'll talk to my other friends from Germany, and they'll be like, "Oh yeah, they think it sounds cool." When I said like, "Oh, I'm going to Pennsylvania for the weekend." And, like, they're talking about going Austria skiing for Christmas. And, like, they thought me saying Pennsylvania was cool. And I'm like, fuck you guys. Like, you go, you travel.
But that's the thing, though, right?
You go somewhere even cooler.
Right. But see, that's the thing, though, right? For them, it's just that, for them, Vienna is their Pennsylvania, right?
Like, but how do they have, like, they've got so much culture and stuff condensed in such a small space. And I'm like, well, the donuts are different over there. I mean, the people and everything are different.
Get out of here.
I tried to get in there.
Well, I was saying, like in Ohio, just in general, like speaking that specifically, Jess grew up in rural Ohio and I grew up in Cleveland. So it's like, when I went to college and there were people who had these like country accents, I was like, oh, where are you from? So thinking they're going to say somewhere in a different state. And they're like, oh, I'm from Ohio. And I'm like, get the fuck out.
No, you're not. That was one of the few things.
Why do you talk like that?
That was one of the few things I ever agreed with my ex-husband about was like, he was like, because he would come, like, when I was still living in Mansfield, he would come to, like, visit. And he'd be like, who are these fucking people? Like, they all
come from Mansfield.
Fucking Kentucky. Yeah, that's where I was born and raised. And so he's like, who are these fucking people who talk like this? And he's like, are they all from Kentucky? What? And I'm like, I don't know where that comes from. I mean, like, my grandparents moved up there from West Virginia. So my grandparents always had an accent, and that made sense.
But, I mean, they were from West Virginia.
Correct. And, like, but then my dad, you know, he was raised by them, so he learns how to talk by them. So he's got a little bit of a thing going on, but not really.
But that's still like because there's people from West Virginia, you know, like what's the
right. So that's the only thing I can think of is that like because you're like first or second generation Ohio and your parents were from like Kentucky or West Virginia or something, maybe that's where it comes from, but I don't know.
Seems lame. Like,
and here's Jess who grew up and raised in Texas. I don't really hear that much of an accent. So
well, because you have to remember, Houston is the fourth largest city. We do not have accents. You go into the outskirts, but it's the fourth largest city. That's the number one thing. People are like, you're from Texas. We don't hear your accent. I'm like, yeah, but I hear yours, sucker. Like, what you
That's almost like people want to give like I know like
and in the 6 years that I've been here, I have picked up a little bit of the thing. Every time I elongate my A's, I'm like,
Yes! Right? Oh my God, yes! Yes!
I notice when other people do it.
Oh my God.
More than I don't notice myself do it.
I never used to do it either. There are two things that I never used to fucking do, like as like a kid into my adolescence, and then I got into college and I started going laptop. And I don't know why the fuck I do that. But then the other one I just started doing after I moved to Cleveland. Heard people do it so much that I just started doing it. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard this, and maybe it's not just Cleveland, but the word both becomes both. And I don't know why. There's like an L in there for some reason. So you say both instead of both. But Adam does it. I've
heard that a little bit.
Yeah.
That's a Minnesota thing too, though.
I never even noticed that. Well, my friend's from Minnesota, and I like to make fun of her. She's so funny because she's just like, we don't have an accent. And I like to make fun of her because I'll just try to get her to say the word donuts.
I'm trying to get her to say what?
Like, oh yeah, we'll get some donuts and I'm like, and she comes out of that are like, don't you know? And they say, oh, for funny. I'm like, that's hilarious. I'm like, you are so cute.
You are so cute. So cute.
Hot plates, bringing over a hot plate or something. I'm like, guys are adorable.
This episode is going to air this week. Do you have anything that you want people to check out or you want to promote?
So, you know, Black History Month is this month, and Oberlin has been doing an excellent job of just doing like all these really cool things.
Nice.
So this month we, at the end, Thursday and Friday, we're doing a Shirley Graham Du Bois symposium. And Shirley Graham Du Bois is the, is an Oberlin alum. She is the wife of, Du Bois, W-E-B Du Bois. Mm-hmm. And so we have that connection. And we're bringing people in from all over the country to do this symposium. There are going to be talks all day Thursday, all day Friday, an installation, an exhibit. I mean, it's just going to be really cool. Then, of course, if you feel like you want to get your ass kicked, Tuesday morning, 6 a.m., come to Body Pump, hang out with me. You know, it's always a good time. That's an Avon, though. That's not an Avon.
Thinking, I'm like, no, when you say getting your ass kicked, I feel like you would kick my ass. I'm like, oh, God, I think I'm too weak. I'm too soft. Going to make my thighs burn. Like, no.
Is there any social media or websites or anything people can go to and check it out?
Yeah, you could probably even just get, because we don't want to do the www stop, but if you Google Black History Month Oberlin, the first link is the Oberlin's event page, and it specifically links you to the Black History Month calendar for Oberlin. Yes. So it'll give you all that information.
So cool. That's
Shirley Graham Du Bois. And then, you know, U of H, the University Hospitals Facebook page, University Hospitals Health Center Facebook page. They usually have probably the link to where you can get the Group X classes and stuff. So, you know, you can come hang out with me or Mondays at Oberlin if you're in the area. 4:15 or 5:15, I teach TRX for the kiddies.
Ah! So. TRX is my favorite thing. So that's how I met Jess, for everybody at home. She was she was my trainer at my gym, and she did TRX, and it's my favorite thing in the world. And everybody should at least Google TRX and find out what it is, because it hurts. Like, I can't move for like 3 days after I do it, but it's the most fun in the entire world. It's my favorite thing.
Sound like fun.
No, it is. It's like these straps that come down with these handles, and you can adjust the straps and do all these different workouts with just like hanging from straps, and it's so fun. Like,
oh, well, that sounds fun. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just, I mean, it's all physics. It's body angles and body weight. That's it.
It's so fun.
It's a fun time. It's a fun time. You know, it is. It is a lot of fun. It's basically playgrounds for adults. Basically.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Because I saw it at. It's funny. I just joined a new gym. So since we moved out here, we were just going to our awful apartment gym, but we just started going to actually LA Fitness, and they have a TRX like set up in the personal trainer area. I'm like, part of me wants to just end up paying like $50 a month for a trainer so I can play on TRX like once or twice a week, because it's so fun.
Just walk over there, do your, you know, ask for forgiveness instead of permission.
Yeah.
Stroll over there like, I can't play with this.
You can. Okay, so I have a question, Jeff. I feel like, and I could be wrong, but do you have a landmark birthday coming up?
So that happened. So it wasn't a landmark. It was on the 6th, and it was just 38. So
That's what I'm saying. Okay. So we're not at 40 yet. Okay.
No. We got a couple more years.
I'm about to say, I need to save up my money. Like, what are we doing? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, we should do something like fun. I really want to do maybe something like either really a fun weekend in San Diego or San Francisco or Cabo or something like that.
Oh my God, Cabo. So real quick, I went there for the first time over in November, and I really think that I want to do that every year.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. Now, Cabo. Cabo San Lucas is a little much for me. It's like baby Vegas, and it's just like a little too touristy.
The idea of Vegas sounds awful.
I know. But however, San Jose Los Cabos is phenomenal. It reminds you of, so they're basically two towns when they're talking about Los Cabos.
Okay.
And San Jose Los Cabos reminds me a lot of New Mexico, actually. Like, it reminds me a lot of a small town in New Mexico with a little plaza, and they have a little, in the one night that we were walking around, they had the community, all these community groups out doing different performances and stuff, and it was great. I was like, I could do this. And then, of course, you have the water and the mountains and all the things, and everything's cheap, so I'm like, yeah. And tequila. Like,
all right, well, sold.
I'm just saying.
Sold.
Tequila is my favorite booze on the planet Earth. So,
dude. So, I mean, they're like tasting places just everywhere.
Yay!
You know that I traveled. I've been doing this for 6 years. Carry on only. Check-in is for rookies. But I most definitely checked my bag on the way back.
For tequila, yeah.
Precious cargo.
For tequila, I would. Yeah, absolutely.
My friend and her husband just did like a cruise, and I think they went down there and they went to some fancy like tequila distillery, and they like ended up buying like an $80 bottle of tequila. Yeah. And I'm like,
I went to Puerto Vallarta like 8 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago. And I didn't think Puerto Vallarta was that great. I mean, we went to the resort, so we didn't spend much time in the town. And I was like, yeah, it's okay, but it's in the state where they make tequila. And mm-hmm. So they would have tequila tastings every day at like 4, and I would just get hammered.
Waking the bell and Jess comes running.
And it was the best, though. And then the airport had like a million. The cool part was because it was the tequila region, the airport just had straight up like tequilerias where you just go in and shop. And they had like the bottles that were individually like the nice bottles, but they were big enough that I could fit them in my Ziploc bag. So mm-hmm. I could still go through. Yeah. So that's what I ended up doing is I brought home just like
a bunch of little
a Ziploc bag with like six mini bottles of good tequila. And I think my husband still has some of them because I just wanted to get the fuck out. But like, honestly, I want to go back so I can get more of that tequila because it was really good.
Let's do it, man. Let's do it. I'm just saying.
I've never been to Mexico.
Let's do
it. Yeah, we should go to Mexico.
South of the border.
Let's do it.
North and Europe and Asia, but not.
Let's do it.
The
Let's
other Americas.
Yeah, I would be all about doing a resort. Everything else, I'm kind of, either that or Mexico City, but everything else kind of scares me at this point.
Right, I'm like, I feel like a bad person, because I'm kind of like, dude, I saw the fucking movie.
There are certainly some dangerous places, but also there's trafficking that happens all over, and up and down, up and down 90 right now, right? Like, up and down 90. But the thing that I will say that I really appreciated about where I was, is that Los Cabos is very much, I mean, it's just small town. It's like, it's small town. The people don't bother you. At one point, my girlfriend, because I get cabin fever, so I can't stay on a resort for like 6 days straight. Like that.
Yeah.
I can do it for like the first two or three, and then now I need to go out and do something else.
I get
and
it.
So at one point, I didn't want to do an excursion. So at one point, you know, my girlfriend decided she just wanted to be in the pool for 8 hours, and I was like, peace out. So I took I looked up where I could go hike, and I took a Uber. They dropped me off at like this undisclosed location, and that was it. And then I walked around and I hiked and I had a great time. And like, you know, the locals were looking at me a little strange, but they didn't bother me. And at one point, as I'm walking, because I'm walking in this ravine, because you know it doesn't rain a whole lot there, and so the riverbed had dried up. The river actually goes straight to the ocean. And at one point, I'm walking in this riverbed up the ravine and, like, walking towards the mountains. And I'm like, this how people get snatched, yo. Like, with your little bitty backpack on, your sandals on, you got music going on your ears. Like, you are bold AF, and you're thinking that you're not about to get snatched. But the thing is that I felt that comfortable. Like, it was just, people were chilling. Like, they, you know, the Mexicans were just, like, in the back of their cars having a little cookout. Like, that's just, it's just, it is what it is. Now, that probably wasn't, if I had been in another part of Mexico, would that have been the smartest decision? Probably not.
Well, that's what I think.
It felt safe enough there to do that.
Which I've heard that it's also, you know, like, it's like here, there's rougher cities and fine cities. And so I guess that's also true.
But I think, so part of it, I think, is just me and my personality. I tend to walk tall and I walk fast. And so... catch me if you can kind of thing, right? But I've never, I'm trying to think, where have I been where I have felt unsafe? I think it's just a mentality, and it may be some naivete. I think I still think the best in people. And so, especially when you travel overseas in Europe, more often than not, people are really willing to help you and to be very hospitable versus they out to rape you and dump you in the middle of the street. So,
I mean, I'm always riding that line in between there, but at the same time, like, I watch a lot of true crime stuff, and I'm like, they're gonna kill me.
Yeah, I live alone. Yeah, no, I live alone. I can't watch that stuff. True crime.
My grandmother. I love it, but also, everyone wants to rape and kill. And I went to an all-girls school, and they used to tell us that all the time. Everyone on the internet is gonna, like, rape and kill you.
I was raised by a Catholic grandmother and a mother who were basically telling my entire life I was about to be raped and murdered at every corner. So, like, in my head, I'm just like, I am always about to be raped and murdered. Like, it's
just all the time. I grew up Catholic, Catholic, Cleveland, all girls school. You just, everyone wants to kill you.
Everybody, all the time. Hey, Liz, do you have any social media you want to promote?
No, there's Instagram, I guess.
Okay, check out Instagram. You know how it goes. Check out OK Pants and Above Below Entertainment. They are our logo drawers and our network, respectively. I want to thank them both. Oh, yeah, what were you going to say?
I remember I'm on the funny period show at the B-Side Lounge hosted by Liz Blanc the last Sunday in March.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Go check that shit out. That is a very good cause. That is a very good show. Yeah. Jess,
I mean, I can have more Instagram followers. I don't know, JazzyJ_ Songbird.
Jazzy J. Oh my God.
Yep. Jazzy J _ Songbird on Instagram.
Fuck yeah.
So check out Jess there. Check out Avon for her workout class schedule. And check out Google Oberlin College for the Du Bois. And then, Jess, I want to thank you so much for being a guest today. We stayed on topic more than we actually ever do. So this was really good. Okay, love you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.